Lakers lose 96-94 to the Miami Heat. Lakers now sitting on the season 22-9, tied with the Los Angeles Clippers for the second best record in the Western Conference. Phoenix and Portland right on their heels. Phoenix at 19-10, Portland at 18-10. This is definitely one of those games I think we'll look back on. Lakers had a chance there at the end. Tough loss for the Lake Show.
To be honest, I can't be mad at the Lakers in this one. I really actually thought they fought. You know, there are certain games that we get a chance to listen to on the broadcast, we watch on TV, and there's certain games you walk away and say, Lakers could have played better. They could have done better. They could have executed better. Where's the effort? How come it takes them so long to get going at the end of the first quarter, second quarter, whatever the case is? I thought the Lakers were undermanned in this one. I did not expect them to beat the Miami Heat. Miami had all their guns. I know Goran Dragic was not there, but Kendrick Nunn put up 27 and played 40 minutes for the Miami Heat. This one was this is a tough loss for the Lakers. As we always do, I do want to open up the phone line. So if you got some thoughts on tonight's game, if you got some thoughts on the final couple final possessions, 877-710-ESPN. I do want to give my thoughts on this as far as those final couple of possessions. Lakers were very fortunate to have a shot there to actually win the game. That steal by LeBron James pokes the ball away from Jimmy Butler on an inbounds play. And then LeBron eventually gets it back. They pretty much double him, which is the right thing to do, and force Alex Caruso to take a three. That's kind of a possession where everybody's scrambling and you just take the best shot that you possibly can. And I did think that the Lakers got an incredible, incredible look there. But that's not the possession I'm disappointed in. The possession I'm disappointed in was Lakers were down two. I want to say it was 94-92. And had the ball with about 25 seconds left. Wesley Matthews takes a three in that possession. LeBron never touched the ball. That's the one possession that I would look at and say, how does LeBron not touch the ball? And I'm not a fan of taking threes when you're down two. You know, I think the Lakers, unless it's a clean look, and I'm not saying that Wesley Matthews, that wasn't a great look, but if you're Miami's defense, you're saying to yourself, LeBron doesn't touch the ball. LeBron never touches the ball in that final possession. We will take our chances, and they did. Wesley Matthews missed the three, and then, of course, like I mentioned, we had the three missed by Alex Caruso there towards the end. So not an ideal couple of possessions for the Lakers. Miami made a lot of mistakes there towards the end. Like I mentioned, I'm a little surprised that this was even a game towards the end, simply because Lakers were outmanned, number one. Miami has, certainly had a pretty comfortable lead throughout the game. I mean, I don't think you ever felt like, if you're Miami, I don't think you ever felt like you were going to lose the game up until those last couple of possessions or so. So the final score, 96-94. Let me take a couple quick phone calls here, and then we'll make sure we'll start lining up players, coach, and everybody else. Ken in Newport Beach. Ken, what's going on? What'd you think of tonight's game?
I wasn't happy. Matter of fact, I'm still angry, and there's a couple of reasons. First off, LeBron is okay to have a bad game. He was 1-for-7 for three. His last six games, he's shooting 21% from three. He was off tonight. I can accept that. But the end of the game, matter of fact, more than the end of the game, when Matthews, who's 2-for-7 for three, and Gasol, who's 2-for-6 from three, have more minutes than Harrell, who's 7-for-12, he wasn't in the game at the end. He was the only guy that they couldn't stop, along with Kuzma. I have no idea what they were thinking. That was some bad coaching. It's amazing that they were in this game when LeBron was this bad and they're missing their two starters.
But by the way, Ken, I can't argue with you on the Montrezl Harrell. I was trying to figure out, and I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to take a couple more phone calls as well. Montrezl Harrell tonight, you know, for those who are driving around, you're listening on the app, Montrez had 24 minutes, 18 points, and 10 rebounds. And I actually like him going up against Bam Adebayo. I like those two bangers, you know, going at each other. And Bam Adebayo is going to have a size advantage, but you don't look at Bam Adebayo as Hakeem Olajuwon, and he's going to go in and put 35 on you down low. So I don't think, you know, there's certain things I think you could not pay as much attention to. What I did think what was happening, what I thought was, at one point, I thought the reason why You know, Marc Gasol was in the game. Lakers were down, and if LeBron was spread around with shooters, that was kind of the idea and the concept, and I thought that's why they were doing it. But listen, it's kind of tough for me to be critical on the Lakers because I actually don't think they should have really been all in this game. I thought Miami had plenty of opportunities to end the game. They didn't, and Lakers just kind of hung around and almost found a way to win. Let me grab another quick call here. Muhammad, who's calling on the 10 freeway. What's going on? Thank you for calling in.
Hey, man. Thank you so much. I just wanted to call in and say that Schroeder is such an important piece to our team.
Absolutely.
And it was just so clear in games like today where Kendrick Nunn can go off. And Schroeder, because he's such a good defender and he's so competitive, like games like this is actually where he would shine. And where I think a big difference between us this year and last year is with him and sort of the kind of competitive nature he has with a guy like Kendrick Nunn. You know what I mean?
Muhammad, let me go back to the game, and I appreciate you calling in. Let me go back to the game on Thursday. Lakers played Brooklyn. Pre-game show, Coach Vogel was talking about how excited he was to have he was incredibly excited to have Dennis Schroeder go up against Kyrie Irving. So one of the things that you thought was, okay, hey, what a matchup that's going to be, Dennis Schroeder versus Kyrie. This one tonight as well, Dennis Schroeder makes an incredible impact. I mean, I tweeted out before the game because we heard Coach mention that he was going to miss the next three games, including this one. Yeah, that's an incredibly tough stretch for the Lakers. Lakers got Washington coming up on Monday, and people are going to think, oh, this is going to be a blowout. No, it won't. It will be a close game because you got Bradley Beal, you have Russell Westbrook, you got some stars, obviously, for the Washington Wizards, and they're going to think we can hang in this game because the Lakers are missing their second-best player and their third-best player. One of those guys, obviously, top three in the entire world and the best two-way player in the NBA. The other one, Dennis Schroeder, just think about what happens to the Lakers. Dennis Schroeder comes out. That was 24 points that you took out when the Lakers played the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you're plugging that in with Wesley Matthews. That's a significant difference. People are going to think I'm making excuses. Devin in L.A. Devin, what's going on? Appreciate you calling in. Pizza at Lakers postgame show.
Hey, what's going on, Sliwa? Can you hear me okay, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for calling.
No worries, bro. It's always a pleasure. All right, I got three issues with the Lake Show, and I'm a diehard Laker and always will bleed purple and gold. But my number one issue is I'm trying to figure out what's our Lakers' identity this season. It seems we just have a lack of identity as a team. I mean, Brooklyn, you know, their lack of defense or what have you, but, you know, they're an offensive juggernaut. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't want to go through the list, but hopefully you understand the point. Number two is coaching. I love Frankie V, but it doesn't seem like the Lakers look crisp at all offensively. They don't look crisp defensively. And that goes into my third and final point. It's just that lack of an off-season sleeper or the quick turnaround. I think we're starting to see it now with the legs. And I mean, when LeBron has to do a better job of being aggressive, Kyle Kuzma cannot come out and be the most aggressive player on the court. The leader has to take the lead and the players have to follow. Now, I'm so happy with Kuzma's effort and he looks amazing. And I'm proud of that. And I think it's going to work wonders when AD does get back.
I'm going to get to some of your points here. We got to go to break here. I appreciate you calling in, all right? 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Just a reminder, Sedano, LZ, and Cap are giving away cash. To register, text the word MISSION to 40705. Then listen weekdays at 4:30 for your name to be announced. If you call back within 20 minutes, you win. Lakers lose 96-94. And we come back, we'll hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. I'll take more of your guys' phone calls. And I want to hit on a couple things that Devin mentioned right there. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, JetsPizza.com. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Here is LeBron down the middle, all the way, power to the rim, blocked by Adebayo. A spectacular block by Bam. Got LeBron from behind. Here's Iguodala, timeout Miami. Block of the night from Bam Adebayo, and Miami will have the ball when we come back. Heat 89, Lakers 81.
Heat win 96-94 over the Lakers. You heard John Ireland right there. That is the defensive play of the game, which is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get the coverage you need at the best price. Visit SaveWithAdrianas.com today. Adriana's Insurance, more options, no contracts, just savings. Looking at things from a defensive perspective, I mean, not a lot of points, 96-94. I'm sure that plays to Miami's advantage. We obviously got to see this a lot in the NBA Finals in the Orlando bubble, and also defensively for the Lakers. 8 steals to 5 advantage Miami, 6 blocks to 3 advantage Lakers. So Lakers actually won that. I thought, you know, Devin brought up a good point. Last caller that we had, if you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show, 877-710-ESPN. But Devin brought up a good point talking about how he feels like the Lakers are starting to kind of that wear and tear from last season is starting to have some type of an effect on this season. And we're talking obviously about LeBron, and Anthony Davis is out. Of course, there's a number of other players that were on last year's roster. I will say that we are can't wait for the All-Star game or the All-Star break. Not the game, the break. Because I think the Lakers are in, you know, incredible need of having some type of a break. This is what the Lakers got left. They got the Washington Wizards, the Utah Jazz, Portland, Golden State, Phoenix, and Sacramento. So you got 6 games left. 6 games left before the break. 4 of those games are against teams that are in the thick of the playoffs. And then, of course, Washington and Sacramento are not. But if you don't have Dennis Schroeder and Anthony Davis, any team can beat you. And, of course, if you don't have Anthony Davis, you know, you're missing the best two-way player in the league. Things can change incredibly rapidly. You got obviously a lot of your other players got to step up. But without Dennis Schroeder, this changes everything. And what we do know about Schroeder is he'll be out at least against Washington and at Utah. So certainly changes the scope in the short term. Hector in Beverly Hills. Hector, appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Lakers postgame show. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
The Lakers are shorthanded, and they need to ask players to do a little bit more. Why is Kuzma only playing 35 minutes when he's the most aggressive out there? He should be playing 40. Why is Morris playing 17 minutes when he was pretty much useless on both ends of the floor? He should have been playing 10 minutes, and Harrell should have been playing 30 minutes instead of 24. Vogel needs to do a better, he needs to use his players better. Distribute the minutes a little bit better. I don't understand. These young guys need to be playing 35, 40 minutes. Matthews finally had a decent game. What did he play, 30 minutes? He should have been playing 37, 38 minutes. I don't understand what Vogel is doing with the substitution pattern. It's not working.
Well, Hector, well, I'll tell you what he's doing, and I appreciate you calling in. He's trying to figure it out on the fly as, you know, I think as we're all kind of watching these games and listening to these games. The Montrez thing, I can't argue with you, because I do think Montrez Harrell, especially with Anthony Davis out, you feel like he should be getting 30 minutes plus. But I don't have to explain it to you because we can take a listen to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Here's coach on the Lakers 2-point loss to the Miami Heat.
For Frank, just to reiterate, was asking about the offense, especially in the fourth quarter, 1 for 13 from three. And the defense up to that point seemed like it had evolved from that first quarter.
Yeah, you know, I did think that our defense, you know, turned up the heat a little bit throughout the three quarters. We knew that the first quarter was not what we wanted or what we're capable of. You know, in the fourth quarter, we held them 15 points, which should be enough to win. But, you know, obviously they're a 5 in the paint swarm team. You have to play extra pass basketball. I thought we generated a lot of good looks in the fourth quarter, just weren't able to knock them down. you know, but there's certainly, I'm sure there's ways we can execute better as well. We'll look at the tape and find ways where we can be better.
Frank, you had mentioned wanting to get more looks from three, and you certainly did that tonight. What was the shift there, and how much of that was with how Miami was playing?
It's a combination. You know, like I said, we've been hesitant, I feel, over the last few games from the three-point line. So there was an encouragement piece to that. But also, like I said, this team's number one in points in the paint. They take that away, and they make you beat them over the top. And, you know, if you're knocking down shots, you're going to have a great night against this team. But if you're not, it's going to be a long night.
And then just wonder what you were looking for on that play where Wes ends up taking the wing three and what the options were there.
Yeah, well, we're looking to get Bron open. But two guys went with Bron. Wes got open, had a good look, wasn't able to knock it down. But, you know, that's a shot we'll take.
Here I am. Yeah, I'm here, Frank. The sequence at the end there where LeBron got the steal and found Alex on the wing, what did you make of what was available and the look that you guys got to try to force overtime? Frank, final sequence.
Yeah, we knew they were going to try to get it to Butler. He's their best free throw shooter. So, you know, we started with somebody on the ball, but dropped off to double team and try to double team deny him. We're able to force a turnover. It creates a scramble situation. You know, I have to look at the tape to see what else may have been available, but I thought we got a pretty clean look. Chance to win the game, just didn't fall.
Dan?
Frank, you've said repeatedly that you believe that this team has enough firepower to win with Dennis and AD down. Do you see teams guarding you in a way sort of to test that, the double teams that are coming at LeBron and trying to force the ball other places?
No, I mean, I think they're able to shift matchups, you know, more than bring extra double teams. I mean, if you bring double teams to LeBron, he's the best in the world at picking that apart and finding open men. You know, but not having, you know, Dennis in particular, AD, allows them to shift some matchups around.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel right there. 96-94 Miami over the Lakers. Couple things I want to hit on. Coach mentioned the defense was solid in the final three quarters. I guess you can say that the Lakers lost the game in the first quarter. You know, we talked about this. When Lakers dig themselves a hole the way they have for some of these other teams, the good teams, and don't pay attention to Miami's record. They're going to be in the mix. They'll be in the playoffs this upcoming year. Jimmy Butler, I think, missed 12 games so far this year. That's their best player by far. They gave up 36 points in the first quarter and then played catch-up the rest of the way. But the defense the rest of the way, 23 points in the second quarter, 22 points in the third quarter, 15 points in the fourth quarter. You hold the team below 100 points, you think you're going to win that game. The problem is Miami likes these type of games, so low-scoring games actually play to the advantage of the Heat. It was nice to see a couple guys start hitting a few threes. The one I'm really specifically talking about is KCP. Shot five threes, hit three of them, had 11 points. And then the final thing Coach mentioned, he said that Wes got a good look. This was a possession I was talking about. Lakers were down by two. Two guys went on to LeBron. This was about 25 seconds left when Lakers inbounded the ball. And he thought, you know, Wes got a good look. I'm not a fan of that play at all, and I know it wasn't probably designed for that, but you had 25 seconds. You had time. You had time. Let LeBron at least touch the ball and make a decision on that possession, especially when you're just down 2 points. You know, if he tries to get to the basket, there's a good chance that they're going to foul him or the referees will be quicker to blow the whistle. So I was not a fan of that possession. And ultimately, I don't think it came down to one play, but that play was obviously critical. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. Plus, we'll hear from KCP. Stay right here, 96-94, Miami over the Lakers. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Lakers lose 96-94 to the Miami Heat, 22-9 on the season. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint. Lakers lose the Points in the Paint battle 52-38, which is not a big surprise, of course. Miami's got some size with Anthony Davis out. They took advantage of it. Bam Adebayo, I mentioned a little bit earlier in the postgame show, ended up with 16 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. Duncan Robinson had 10 rebounds. Jimmy Butler had 8 rebounds. He had a few guys obviously crashing the glass for the Miami Heat. Let me grab a couple quick phone calls here before we go to KCP. Camille in Hawthorne, appreciate you tuning in. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, I can appreciate Kyle Kuzma's 17 to 20 points, but no rebounds, no assists, no steals, no block shots, and he's supposed to be playing the center. You know, I'm not happy with that at all. That's too empty right there. What's up with that?
Well, I'll tell you, and I appreciate you calling in. I'll tell you that his 23 points, 8 of 29 from the field, hit 4 threes for the Lakers. They needed every single one of those points, and I got to be honest, I think Kuzma was one of the highlights tonight. Would you have liked to have seen him grab 12 rebounds? That'd have been great. Maybe a block shot or two. That would have been nice. But there are plenty other nights that I could talk about Kuz. I don't know if tonight's the one. You know, I think there's other players that got to step up. I think there were, you know, that first quarter alone for the Lakers, they gave up 36 points. That kind of dug themselves a hole. I know there are times we want to highlight Kuzma, whether he did something good or he did something that you didn't feel, you know, helped the team. I don't think tonight's the night for Kuz, in my opinion. George on the, or Jorge on the 101 freeway. I appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Good evening. I didn't watch the game tonight because I'm on the way back to watch it, but I wanted to talk about the season, what's going on wrong. I think the biggest mistake this year we had is Mark Gasol. I love the guy as a person, but he's the wrong fit. If you notice, every time he starts, we fall apart in the first quarter and we start to dig ourselves out. He slows the game a lot, and he used to be a good shooter in the past. He's not shooting well. He doesn't rebound. When they pass him the ball, he tries always to pass it because he lacked the confidence to shoot. When we lost the chemistry in the two guys in the middle that gave us advantage in JaVale and Dwight, we didn't replace with a good replacement. Mark Gasol shouldn't start at all. It should be Kuzma. Kuzma is playing good this season. It is KCP this year fell apart. And the other guy, Vogel, should get more time to THT Horton, because when he started the season, he was shooting the lights out, and then he started to slow down. Vogel, for some reason, when someone is hot, he takes him out of the game, and when someone is cold like KCP, he keeps him forever.
Jorge, thank you for calling in. Appreciate you calling in. A lot of thoughts there. I will say this. I'll kind of sum it up in my opinion. I'm not here to overreact tonight. I'm not here. Lakers have the second best record in the NBA. Anthony Davis hasn't played in 7 games. Dennis Schroeder missed the last 2. The boys fought tonight. Tonight was not a game that you actually expected them. Miami should have won this game by 10 or 12 points, the way they started the game, the way you just felt like they had all the momentum. And I thought the Lakers hung around, they fought, obviously did everything they can. They fell just short, 96-94. KCP tonight ended up with 3 threes on the night, 3 of 5. Actually, very, very nice to see KCP hit a couple shots. Hopefully that gets his confidence going. Here's KCP on the Lakers' loss.
Hey, Kentavious, you managed to hit the 1-3 in the fourth quarter, and it just seemed like the ball wasn't going in. Have you seen anything collectively over these last couple games or a couple weeks for the team from a shooting standpoint, and how did that correlate tonight in the fourth quarter?
I mean, down the stretch, I feel like we just not being patient enough. We're trying to force a lot of things, even jumpers at that, to just try to either get even or get in the lead. You know, I feel like we're not really just – towards the end of the game, we're not playing Lakers basketball like we normally do.
How have you felt just individually from a fatigue standpoint, mentally, physically, after the whole season and the, you know, the pandemic and the bubble? And how do you feel at this point?
I mean, I feel great, you know, a little fatigue here and there, but, you know, it's all about just managing my body, you know, being prepared to get my treatment, you know, making sure I stay ready. But, you know, just this way the season going and then the way it went last year, you know, it's a lot. It's all about just managing the body.
Dan?
KCP, what's it going to take for you guys to manage this stretch without AD and Dennis to kind of survive it without two starters?
This is next man up mentality. You know, we had that last year, and we got to pick it up this year. You know, them two guys, AD and Dennis, you know, is big key to our offense, you know, and to this organization. So, I mean, it just got to be the next man up, man. We can't let that slack off. I feel like the last couple of games that's been happening, putting a lot on Bron. We already know what we're going to get out of him. So all the rest of us, you know, we got to continue to just play hard and just play basketball and not worry about anything else.
Dave.
Kentavious, you mentioned that you guys are putting a lot on LeBron. Is that can that be explained of how you look at the way that Wes reacted to missing that three and Alex, that it's not just wanting to do it for yourself to make the shot, but you feel like maybe you're letting LeBron down, letting the team down if you miss shots and those opportunities?
I feel like that's every shooter. Now, that's even if I would have missed a shot, I would have felt the same way as Wes and AC felt. But, you know, it's not – we don't feel that way, you know, but it just – we try to help him out as much as possible, you know, and we want to do it as perfect as possible as we can to try to help him out. You know, we try not to make too much mistakes when we're on the floor with him or even running the play with him, you know, just to give, you know, him some help. You know, we do ask Bron for a lot. You know, he give us a lot each and every game. I know it's up to us as far as like role players and next man up mentality. We just got to be ready and locked in.
Last two, Kyle.
Hey, KCP. When you look at Thursday's game, Brooklyn gets up by a huge lead and they kind of run away with it today. You know, Miami's up by 15 points. You guys are able to kind of claw back, get the lead at one point and almost win the game. What changed about your mental approach between those 2 days?
Just our mindset as far as like we don't lose two in a row. You know, we always carried that last year. You know, it's the same thing this year. You know, we wanted to come out with great energy. I know we came out flat in the game against Brooklyn. But we wanted to just come out strong. I mean, I feel like we came out flat tonight as well. It's always like usually the first quarter, and then we play and catch up from there. I feel like that's one thing we got to change. You know, our energy to start the game and our effort.
Jovan?
Hey, KCP. With the loss tonight, you guys dropped to the 3 seed. I'm curious at this point in the season, is there any concern over seeding and how important is seeding, you know, I guess 30 games in?
You know, I feel like, you know, we don't look at it. You know, we know we want to be number one in the West. You know, we are, you know, defending champs. You know, we that's our mindset and our motivation. You know, we still want to be number one in the West. But, you know, for us, you know, we just about winning. No matter what seed we are, we just want to win, you know, make the playoffs, postseason, and just be ready for, you know, to defend the title.
Kenny, we have one follow-up from Dan Wyke.
Hey, KCP, real quick, you said a couple times about, you know, you guys ask a lot to do a lot from LeBron. With AD, obviously, that ask goes up. How concerning is that, just kind of knowing that you're going to need him to be as fresh as possible this season?
Yeah, we know AD is one of, you know, our second superstar. We know we need his play, his motivation, you know, just him being out there. You know, is a lot, you know, means a lot to the players and stuff. But, you know, that take a lot of slack off Bron when AD is in. You know, now you got to pay attention to him or LeBron or AD, you know, and then that opens up for the role players, you know. But when one of them guys is out, you know, we as a role player, we got to step up. You know, we got to be ready, you know, shoot the ball, you know, including myself. You know, I've been struggling a little bit with that. But you got to be ready to shoot, make plays, you know, and just play simple basketball when we are helping them guys out.
All right, that's KCP right there. Hit three threes for the Lakers tonight. Did what he can, but not enough for the Lake Show. 96-94, the final. Miami over the Los Angeles Lakers. When we come back, we'll get a chance to hear from LeBron James. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Lakers lose 96-94 to the Miami Heat. By the way, just a reminder here, coming up this Monday, it'll be Lakers and the Washington Wizards. So Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, they're in a battle right now against the Portland Trailblazers, actually a close game. That is a tip-off at 7 o'clock, so we'll have our pregame show starting at 5:30. LeBron tonight, you know, I'm sure everybody's curious to get LeBron's thoughts on tonight's game. LBJ ended up with 19 points, 9 assists, 9 rebounds, did everything he can. Did struggle from the field, so let's make sure to obviously point that out. 7-21 from the field, 1-8 from the three-point line. Let's get LBJ's thoughts on this Lakers 2-point loss to the Miami Heat.
Hey, LeBron, what stood out the most to you in the fourth quarter, especially just with the shots not falling and the way that you guys were generating looks against Miami's D?
We got some great looks and they didn't fall. You just said it. I think defensively we were very good, very in tune, connected. Shots just weren't falling in the fourth.
Alex took us through that last sequence. Just wondered what you saw from the inbounds pass and how you were playing Jimmy up to the point where you made that decision once Miami helped over on you.
I felt like they were going to try to seal me over the top. I was able to get a hand on the ball. AC brought it up to me. DHO to me, Jimmy and Olenek doubled me. I went to AC and we missed a shot.
Dave?
LeBron, what's this time period like, do you think, for your teammates in terms of the pressure they may feel to try to take on more, considering there's no AD and there's no Schroeder? At the same time, you know, Kenny and Alex both mentioned, like, they want to take some load off your shoulders. They know that you're capable of carrying a lot, but they want to be doing their part. What's that like for your team to go through that kind of emotion or balance right now?
They are doing their part. They're doing their part and more. And every time we're on the floor, we're all trying to protect each other and bring each other up, you know, out on the floor every single night. You know, and it doesn't matter if you're making shots or not. You know, we are going to hold each other accountable. And everybody's just picking up in AD's absence. And obviously it hasn't been, in wins the last two games, but, you know, we're going to keep on working on this and continue to be great for one another.
Dan?
Ron, the shooting over the last 10 games or so, even pre-injuries, is really tailed off. Is there any reason for that or anything that you've seen, or is this just sort of over the course of the season, there's going to be highs and there are going to be lows?
I don't think there's any reason for that. I think our guys do a great job of being in the gym. We all put in the work. And, so it's not that. I mean, if it was that we weren't putting in work, then, you know, that would be the reason for it. Or I could say that's a cause of it. So, you know, the law of averages are evening itself out. And we had lapses last year at one point. We had it during the playoffs as well. And we just, you know, we knew we would find our rhythm and we'd do the same this year.
Kyle?
Hey, LeBron, when AC was talking about that last play, he kind of said, you know, I expected my defender to kind of follow off to me and they would guard LeBron one-on-one. Is it perhaps just more of a consequence that AD is not on the floor, that teams are more willing to double you? And do you see other guys on the floor with you kind of adjusting to that new reality?
No, I mean, my intentions when I came off that DHO was to let it go. You know, if they would have guarded me one-on-one and Jimmy would have stayed back or Oldenick didn't fight over the screen. But, you know, for me, you know, when you grab two on the ball and we had a great look to tie the game to send it to overtime, AC had that. I think the only, you know, bad thing about it is that he shot a long two. I wish he would have shot a three and, you know, and make her miss. I live with that. So, but other than that, you know, it was a good look.
Melissa, last question, Melissa.
Hey, LeBron, throughout your career, you've been sort of a master at tweaking your game, giving each respective team that you played on what it needs, whether it's more ball handling, more shooting, more defense, whatever the case may be. What goes into being such a master at tweaking your game, and how are you so effective at that?
Staying open-minded about, you know, whatever my teammates need, whatever the coaching staff need, whatever the personnel that I'm playing with needs at that particular time. And, always just having a growth mindset. I think that's for my game, and not settling on what I am or who I am at that point in time, being able to adjust to my teammates, be able to adjust to the coaching staff and the system that we want to play at that point in time. So, I think that's what it all boils down to. And, right now is another challenge for me to be able to adjust, you know, not having AD for a long period of time is something that we haven't had over the last year and a half. And now it's time for me to adjust again and see ways I can be even more effective to help this team win ball games. Cause that is the sport that we're in. We're in the winning business and I've always been a winner. So it's time to click into that.
Couple things I do want to point out here real quick. So, you know, you kind of look at this team look at this specific game, put a bow on it. Lakers had a shot. Obviously, Alex Caruso missed that final possession, and you saw LeBron James mention it. Lakers had, I thought at times, I didn't think it was going to come down to a final possession. I thought they fought for all 48 minutes. They're definitely out or undermanned right now without having Dennis Schroeder and without having, of course, Anthony Davis. But the one thing that I do pay attention to is you got this chance over these next six games, which are going to be tough. By no means is this going to be an easy stretch for the Lakers. I thought there was an interesting story that came out today. And I got so many Laker fans that hit me on a, you know, consistent basis, and they're talking about the center position, and they're talking about, we'll use Marc Gasol as an example here, or a backup center. Sham Sharania from The Athletic a little bit earlier today tweeted, "The Houston Rockets and center DeMarcus Cousins are planning to part ways in coming days," sources tell The Athletic. In the stadium, Houston wants to go smaller, younger in the front court with Christian Wood. He also put out that Cousins, just as far as his numbers go, averaged about 9.5 points and 7.5 rebounds in 25 games. Michael and I kind of hit on this a little bit in the pregame show. That's going to be very interesting to see what happens to DeMarcus Cousins. Where does he land? Which team would he end up with? Would he come to a team like the Lakers? Would he go to a team like the Brooklyn Nets? I'm sure he's got great relationships and he wants to be on a contender, try to win an NBA championship. He will get his guaranteed money. So it looks like it's a good purpose for both the Rockets and a good purpose for DeMarcus Cousins. This is what's going to make the NBA interesting. There are a lot of teams trying to chase the Lakers, and if you want to put the Utah Jazz in there, the Clippers, that's the top three teams in the Western Conference. They're trying to chase Brooklyn and Philly. So they might go out and make a move that can put them in that same conversation. And maybe the rich get richer. Maybe that's not the case. But whatever it is, I think the DeMarcus Cousins one will be an interesting story to follow. And we've already talked about Blake Griffin. We've already talked about Andre Drummond. So there are a number of players that could be available. And a few of those guys are obviously big men that could potentially change kind of the scope here of the landscape of the NBA. 96-94, Lakers lose to the Heat by 2. This coming Monday, Lakers will take on the Washington Wizards. Pregame coverage, as a reminder, will start at 5:30. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. So as always, we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. This has been the Pizza Out Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.